So if you got your Bibles tonight, if you don't, look at the screen or whatever, but we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. Very familiar verse, but tonight I want to talk to you, and the title of the message is, what did you say?
What
did you say?
I said it's like the words.
Yeah. What did you say? Right? And so we're going to be talking about the words of our mouth, and I know we've preached on this many, many times, but I need a refresher. You need a refresher because the Spirit of God spoke to me this afternoon. I felt and was impressed to do what I'm going to do tonight. So in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's tied. Your mouth and your heart are tied. And where faith is concerned, you will never have faith, develop faith, unless you get your words in line with what God has said. In other words, in this particular instance, it's talking about salvation. But he's talking about, listen, you were saved by this particular thing, that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. Jesus, who is the pure Lamb of God, he left his place in glory and came down to earth in order to, you know, save us. And all of those who believe shall be saved. But in order for you to be saved, you have to what? Believe in your heart. And then you have to say with your mouth. That's so important. Believe in your heart and then say with your mouth. Sometimes your head can get in the way of your heart, you know. But you have to tell your head to just shut up, because I'm going to agree with the Word of God. And then I'm going to get the Word of God in my mouth. Because this is talking about the salvation. Your sins are forgiven. You're going to go to heaven. But I just want to suggest to you that it's also talking about when you need deliverance, when you need provision, when you need healing, when you need just to be loved. You know, I've been talking with somebody recently, and it's like, again, for them to really understand that God loves them is so out of the ordinary for them. And if things aren't exactly lining up the way the things should be going, well, then maybe God doesn't love me. You know what I'm saying? But you have to get into your heart, into your mind, that Jesus loves me. This I know. For why? For the Bible tells me so. So you can believe in the Bible that it says God loves me. But it's also important for you to get it out of your mouth that God loves me. And especially when you're facing times of struggle. Especially when the enemy is telling you, well, you blew it. You know, that one was too big for Jesus. He forgave everything else, but that one, sorry, you tipped the scale. That's when you have to come back with, no, the Bible says that he's forgiven me of all of my sins, that he paid the price for all of my sins, and he loves me. It's not based on what I do. His love for me is based on who he is, right? So we have to have our mouth in line with our heart, as our heart is in line with the word. Let's go back again to very familiar scripture to many of us, but in Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 20. Mark 11 and verse 20. It says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree that dried up by the roots. And that's the one that Jesus cursed. And they, you know, nothing was there that day. They passed it the night that he cursed it. It seemed like it was fine. But the next morning they passed by it again. They went, whoa. And this is this verse. And Peter, remember, he said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Listen to Jesus' response. Because Jesus is so incredible, because it's like they'll ask him a question and he'll come at it from a completely different, it's like, huh? That's not what I asked. That's not what I said. But it's germane to their heart. Now watch this. It says, so Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Some versions say have the faith of God or the God kind of faith. But the reality is we need to have faith in God. What does that mean? Whatever God said in his word is what I believe. And in my heart, I believe if he said it, then it's true. But that's not enough. It's, yes, he said it. I believe it's true, but it's true for me. Right? It has application in my life. I own this because I am a child of the Most High God. And if he said it for Peter, then it's good for me because he's no respecter of peace and persons. If he said it for, you know, anybody, if he's done it for anybody, he'll do it for me because he's not a respecter of persons. Amen? Verse 23 says, or 22, 4, surely I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Go back to verse 23, and it says this again. For assuredly, in the King James it says, verily, verily. And I like that. But in the New King James, it says, truly, truly, or of a certainty, right? I'm telling you this now. It's absolutely the truth. Listen to what I'm saying. And he goes on to say, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. So there's believing, but there's also saying. And somebody pointed out that there's three times more saying in this verse than there is believing. So what does that mean? That just means when we have something in our heart, we have to repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over. And I didn't write this verse down, but it's back in Romans chapter 10. It says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I was meditating on that verse one day as I was going to minister on it, and the Lord said, read that again. And so I did. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I said, yeah, okay. And he said, did you notice that I didn't say faith comes by having heard? Faith comes by hearing. In other words, faith comes when you're actively listening. Faith comes by actively listening. But in this verse that we just read out of Matthew or Mark chapter 11, it's that's good and that's where faith comes in, but faith has to come out in order for your mountain to move. Right? And that's the words of your mouth. You have to get the words in your heart. But watch this. You know, in James it says, listen, believe, and don't be double-minded about your belief. And I'm paraphrasing. But don't be double-minded about your believing. What does he mean? He means this. He says, don't say one thing one minute and then another thing the next minute. Don't be wishy-washy. Be, you know, have it confirmed in your heart and then speak it with authority coming out of your mouth. Are you listening to me? It's kind of like, and it's easy to do. You know, you get strong in faith. You're saying, God, I just believe that you're with me. I believe you're for me. I believe you're going to help me. I believe you're going to see me through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then the wind comes and the rain comes. And if we're not solid on the belief that we have in the Word of God, we're going to get knocked off. But if we're strong in the Word of God, then when the storm comes, we'll still be saying, Lord, I thank you that you're protecting me. I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I don't care what the circumstances are. God, I believe that you are here with me. And I'm going to walk in the strength of that belief. But if you waver on that and you go, well, he's with me today, but I don't feel it tomorrow, and I wondered what happened. I was so close with God yesterday, and now I don't feel close to God at all. You see, your feelings have nothing to do with it. Because it's not about you approaching God. It's about God has approached you. And he's brought you into his family, right? Glory to God. And so, again, we have to come back to the place where I need to believe God. I'm a believer, so I believe God. I'm a believer, so I believe God. And so I need to have that coming out of my mouth. Instead of, I'm a doubter, so I don't know if God's going to work or not. I'm a doubter, so I don't know if God's going to be with me or not. I'm a doubter, so I don't know if I'll make it or not. No, 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 no. You're speaking to the mountain, whatever adversity you're facing, whatever challenge that you're facing, and you say, here's the promise of God. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'd supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He said, right? And so many times we get that adversarial relation coming at us and we cave into it rather than attacking it with the word. Do you remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness? And the devil said, do this. And Jesus says, it's written. So Jesus knew in his heart what was written, and he wasn't going to listen to the attack, but he was going to attack the attack with the word. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God, it says that the word of God is the sword of God. So it's the word of God that's coming out of our mouth because it's in our heart and we believe it that produces faith. And at that point, mountains have to move. Mountains have to move. Mountains have to move. Right? And so depression has to go. Right? Come on. Struggles. I mean, it's so good. We have to come to the place where we're allowing God's word to begin to come out of our mouth. And we let it slip so much. I'll just tell you this, that, you know, when Renita and I were going to Bible school and everybody was, watch your confession. Don't say that, because it wasn't lining up with the word of God. In fact, it was this one lady just walk around. If you said something wrong, she'd go, confession alert, you know. And that sounds radical, but at the same time, that was the source of beginning to believe God. And some miraculous things came out of people that were just pioneers for God, because they just took the word of God and went out on their own and said, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know anything. Don't know anybody where I'm going, but I believe you've spoken to my heart and you'll supply my needs, and I'm going in faith in Jesus' name. See, but you get settled in what you're doing, and you're just walking along, and maybe at one time you had that confession sheet that you were speaking over yourself all of the time, and then you go, I'll do that tomorrow, and then I'll do that next week, or I'll do that, and then months go by, years go by, and you're not in the process of having the word of God come out of your mouth. You're not meditating on the promises of God, which meditate means to mutter. So you have the word of God and you're just muttering it over and over and over to yourself. See, that's what establishes us in the faith. And from that point, come on, devil, because my God has given me authority over you. And I know that I know that I know what he told me to do, I can do. And what I know that he told me to do, I will do. And whatever you bring at me, I'll go through, because the Lord thy God is with me. Do you see what I'm saying? So again, what did you say? And sometimes it's almost like you have to catch yourself. you're complaining, you're whining, you're I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh man, I'm just so sick and tired of this. I'm just so sick and tired. Listen, the principle here works with anything that you're believing in your heart. So if you believe that you're sick and tired and that's what's coming out of your mouth, that's what you're going to receive, is more sick and tired. Are you listening to me? I'm just broke, busted, and disgusted. I don't know what I'm going to do. This country, I don't know. God couldn't help us if we... Listen, you begin to believe that. You have it coming out and you're establishing things in your life. And it's like God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Just agree with me. Just agree with me. And just say what I'm saying. Right? So good. I think our next scripture is 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 13 it says this. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. I believed, and therefore I spoke. I believed, and therefore I spoke. See, sometimes if you're kind of tentative of saying some of the things, you kind of believe it, but you don't. And so it's kind of like, I'm not sure I should say that. But when you get to the place where you know that you know that you know, with confidence you can speak out the promise of God that is for you and that it will come to pass. Right? Or even that, Paul says stuff like this, it doesn't matter what happens to me, because I know I'm with God. And I forget the things that are behind me. I'm pressing on toward... You see, the point is that you always keep Jesus in the conversation. Yeah, the circumstances might be bad. Yeah, I might be hurting. But you know what? I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I may not like it that, my loved one went on to be with Jesus. I might not like this or I might not like that. But don't get bogged down in that. Remember who he is and what he's done for you. And then begin to just declare it over and over and over again. He's for me. Who can be against me? Think about that for just a minute. Say that with me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, say it again. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who can separate me from the love of God? Beloved, above all these things, I want you to know that God loves you. Right? Behold what manner of love that the Father has bestowed unto me, that I should be called a child of God. Now, you can read that out of the scripture and you go, well, that's nice. Or you can go, wait a minute. That's for me. I believe that is mine. I believe that God said it. And if God said it, I'm going to speak it. And so you can walk around going, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto me, that I should be called a child of God. Behold, what manner of love that the Father has given unto me, that I could be called his kid. Look at it. Wake up, Bruce. Wake up. Wake up. And the more that you do it, it's kind of, it almost starts to become a cycle. It's like, okay, I'm saying it, I'm believing it in my heart, and I'm saying it, so my faith is getting stronger, and the stronger it gets, the bolder I'm saying it, and then the more I say it, the stronger it gets, and on, and it becomes stronger, stronger, and stronger. But if you're not saying it, then it won't get strong. So what did you say? Right? What did you say? I said, God loves me. God is for me. And again, since we have this same spirit of faith, Paul's talking. He said, according to what is written, I believed. Listen to that. According to what's written, I believed. If it says it in here, I believe it. And therefore, I spoke it. Right? It's not just that I spoke the formula of the word, but that word became a foundation in my life, and therefore I could speak it out. Sometimes I think even sharing our faith, we're not fully convinced that what we're preaching is absolutely true. Because if we really believe that, and we had confidence in that, and that there's power in the gospel, then, and we know that the person that we're speaking to doesn't know Jesus, our heart should compel us to say something, and then we should believe that the Holy Spirit is going to give us the words to speak into their life, because that gospel has the power to turn them from hell into heaven. Right? But if we're not fully convinced, if we don't believe that, if we don't believe we're capable because of, you know, we're just not, you know, like that other person, then that's hindering us from walking out the faith that we're supposed to have and that we're supposed to believe in. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go to Proverbs. I think I've mixed up the order back there, but Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And verse 20 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now that sounds backwards. The way I think about it, it's the fruit that goes in your mouth that satisfies your stomach, right? But this says, again, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. In other words, when you're speaking the word of God, when you're speaking out of your heart the word of God, it brings into your inner being a confidence and a peace that you just can't, you know, get rid of or don't want it to go away. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the product of his lips. Listen, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about that for a minute. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Are you listening to me? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Watch this. I believe sometimes victory or defeat are in the power of the tongue. And whichever you're speaking, that's what you're going to receive. And I'm not talking about pie in the sky. I'm not talking about not being real and all of those things. I'm walking in denial. But you're saying, here's the circumstances as they are. I'm way behind in my bills. This sickness has really got me down. All those things are true. But I'm going to speak about the fact that the provider is going to be there for me. I'm going to speak about the fact that you know, by his stripes, I was healed. I'm going to begin to speak the life instead of death over me. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. James said, man, the tongue, it's little, but man, it's unruly. Who can tame it? Who can tame the tongue? He said, man, that's a tough one right there. But the reality is that I believe a born-again Christian who's filled with the Spirit of God and commits his tongue to the Lord and to the Word of God can tame it. And then when he tames it, then his faith will be active to bring in what God wants for him. If, you know, again, if the Lord said, I want you to go to Africa, you go, well, I could never do that. No, I really believe the Lord wants you to go. I could never do that. 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 Death, 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 death. Rather than, even if you don't fully believe it at the time, you say, well, if the Lord wants me to go, I'm going to go. And then the more that becomes real, and yeah, he does want me to go, then you can say, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. Well, how are you going to get there? I have no idea. How are you going to get the money? I don't know. See, and many mission trips that we've been on, and some of you have been on them with us, that you start out and you go, I don't know how I'm going to get that money. But I believe that God wants me to go, so the money will be there. And, you know, I mean, he can drop it out of the sky. I'm not limiting him, but most of the time, he's going to show you a way to get those resources. I remember years ago when Sarah came to me and she said, listen, we're going to rent Miracle Ranch for the whole weekend. God put this on my heart. And we're going to have all of the kids that are in foster care from Kitsap County come. And we're going to pay for all of their expenses. It's not going to cost them a thing. And I kind of went, well, what's the budget for that? Right? And she came up with a figure that was just way over anything that we had, right, way over. But in my spirit, I said, this is God. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. And so God put that in our hearts, and then we began to work on it. We began to say, we will do it. We're going to do it. Life was coming out of our mouth on this date, whenever it was. We're going to rent Miracle Ranch for the whole weekend, and every foster kid in the county is going to be able to come, whether they can afford, you know, they don't have to worry about the money because we're going to supply the whole thing. So that's room and board, and, you know, so it was a hefty amount. But watch this. We said, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And then God gave us the idea of fundraising for that by going to stores and you know, setting up tables with signs and brochures and just asking people to help. Send foster kids to camp, you know, that type of thing. Now, we had youth in that time, and there were adults too, that they were in stores from Silverdale all the way into Tacoma at different stores. And there it was during the fall winter type of thing, and there it was cold. I think it was in November. It was cold. I mean, there were some of those days where it was freezing, but they were out there. They were out there, and it came in, and it came in, and it came in. Then we had favor with our supplies, and we got some things cheaper than we thought we'd get them. And so here's the bottom line. We did it. And all those kids didn't just come for the weekend and have a weekend of freedom, but they also had they were able to get, you know, some toys and things that we gave away to them. Isn't that awesome? And why? We believed God, but then we didn't say, no, we can't. We had to let the power of our words come out. And I've told this story before, but when Barb had to, you know, years ago when Barb had to have that surgery and their insurance wasn't going to pay for her to go to Tulsa, or they didn't know if it would, but she needed that surgery immediately. They came to me in church, and I just said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to believe God. And I stood up before the church. Here's the need. She needs $15,000. I forget what it was, but it was a hefty amount. And she asked, she's She's going to fly down on Wednesday. She needs to have it by Wednesday to go down there and do what she needs to do. She's got the appointment. So we're going to believe God for that $15,000 to come in and that she'll have that money to go down there. 50?
50.
Okay, 50,000. All right. But watch this. And I said, I don't know how we're going to do it. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't have any money. I mean, you know, but here is the bottom line. But I said it to everybody in this congregation that day. I was really bold. I said, and if you don't believe it, keep your mouth shut. Again, if you don't believe it, keep your mouth shut. Why? Because I don't want you bringing that negative thing in and causing death to come out of your mouth. I want life to be produced. And it was by later that day, we had all the money ready for her to go. But God brought it to pass. Right? But so death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm just wondering how much, if we measured it, we put it in a balance, how much of our language that we use brings us destruction rather than victory. We don't see it because it's not correlated, but I'm thinking there's a lot more that goes to that than not. So what are we saying? What did you say? What did you say? You can't? When our kids were small, and we did this all the time, if they ever said they can't, we'd be right back at them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's a funny saying, but it was true. Our daughter Donnie, when she was 3 or 4 or 5 years old, somewhere in that range, we had her memorize that verse, and she said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me all by myself. Right? In other words, I mean, I'm on it. But you know, it's just building faith. It's building confidence. It's building, you know. And get it outside for just a second from the religious or the biblical standpoint. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The words that we speak over other people have great ramification, especially those who are under our influence as fathers and mothers and you know, even parents or employees or whatever. We have so much power that's coming out of our mouth that affects them, and it can either put them on a path that's good or bad. So we determined that we were going to speak life over our kids, and we did, over and over and over again. Can I give you another example? Donnie was born, and she was kind of wrapped funny in the womb, so her foot was kind of under like this when she came out. So the first day she was like, and her foot was just, and the doctor said, well, you know, we may have to do surgery in a day or two, you know, to kind of straighten that out. And I said, no, you won't. In Jesus' name, that foot will be straight. The next morning, it was perfectly straight. Right? I'm not saying the doctor was wrong. I'm not saying the doctor wasn't telling us the truth. He was. But out of my heart, I spoke faith into that situation, and we never had a problem with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I could have said, oh, no. Oh, no, surgery? I don't want my poor baby to go through surgery. Oh, I better call somebody and have them pray. They might have to go through surgery. I didn't do any of that. I just said, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Right? Again, God puts something in your heart. You speak it out of your mouth. It establishes things. And the mountain that was that, you know, foot that was bowed under had to move. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you love death? Keep speaking it. And some people do. I'm telling you, some people like to be the victim because they're talking about being a victim all the time. Well, this happened to me, and that happened to me, and that. Oh God, I'm just. You're just speaking death, and you're getting death, and then you're speaking death, and then you're getting death, and then you're speaking death, and then you're getting death. And then you wonder why nobody wants to be around you. Because nobody likes the stench of decaying flesh. Hello?
Yeah.
But if you start speaking life, you're in the midst of that situation, but my God shall supply all my needs. And some people will think that you're nuts, but they'll watch God come through and they'll go, huh? That's weird, but look at them now, right? So what I'm saying is we have to watch what we're saying. Go to Psalm 116. If you want me to, I would be happy to. Yeah. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Amen.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Hallelujah. Psalm 116. 116. And I'll find it here. And I think we're going to start at verse 9. It says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I just have to stop there. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Even if it's, you know, the world's going to heck in a handbasket, the economy, if it collapsed, or, you know, all of the doomsday things that they say, what are you going to do if this happens? I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Think about that for a minute. What in the world could I pay God back with what he's done for me? I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In other words, I'm going to do what God said to do, but I'm also going to do what I said I would do for God. You know, it's like, I'm going to do this, God, and then we don't do it. We have to have the resolve that, no, my word is good. And Jesus even said, hey, don't mess around. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, because anything outside of that can get you in trouble. But look at God, if I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's going to bring harm to me. It's like, God, I told you, I don't have one, but I told you I'd sell my Corvette and give the money to the, you know, to the mission field. And the next day you go, oh my God, I love my Corvette, right? But you made a vow before the Lord, and so I will do what I said, right? Because my word, listen here, if you aren't a person of your word and you don't back up your word with your actions, then there's no way that you can really believe God's word coming out of your mouth will work. You can't really believe that God is a man of his word if you're not a man or a woman of your word. So if you say something, do something. Right? Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's kind of wild, isn't it? God likes it when we croak. Now that's not what it's saying, right? But what he is saying is that when, you know, people are martyred or even when people die, they're coming back to him. He delights in that. right? Walt just passed away a few, you know, 10 days ago or whatever that was. And I don't want to ruin the testimonies, but what he said, you know, he'd been in pain and pain, and the ambulance came, whatever, the ambulance was there. And he just went, Jesus, take me home. And then he went to lay down, he was gone. He's rejoicing. Come on. He's rejoicing. It's so good. And God loves his people. Verse 16. O Lord, truly I'm your servant. I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now that doesn't mean, oh God, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this sacrifice and I'm going to thank you. I don't want to do it. I probably shouldn't do it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about just like in the Old Testament, when you'd put an offering like a bull or goat up before the Lord to worship him with. That's what he's saying, is I'm going to worship you with my thanksgiving. I'm going to give you an offering of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you that you take care of me. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But too often, and you'll watch this, I mean, I'm not calling anybody out over the internet, nothing, but you'll watch this. The miserable Christians are the ones who are grumbling and complaining. But if you'll become thankful, your countenance will come up. Everything will change if you just put thanksgiving on your lips and put a lock on the whining. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Are you breathing? And not only that, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Did he save you from your sins? Right? And if you really need something, you can always find somebody in worse shape than you are. I'm thankful. Man, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for that my arms work like this. Some people's don't, right? Some people are paralyzed. Some people, I'm thankful. You'll know who I'm talking about, but I don't remember his name. I think it's Nick. But he's a man who's on fire for Jesus, but he has no arms or no legs. And he just goes across the state. He gets all around. But man, you can't keep that guy down. He's just on fire for God. If anybody had a right to complain, he might have. But because he's thankful for what God's given him, a voice to speak into people's lives, he's grateful for it. He's thankful. So find something to be thankful for. Give that offering of thanksgiving, that sacrifice of thanksgiving before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my kids. Thank you for my grandkids. Thank you, Lord, for my car. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you for giving me wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that you're always with me. Thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I thank you that you have angels all around me. I just want to thank you, Lord. Receive this thanks as a gift because I'm so, so grateful. See, you're establishing something with the word of your mouth. You're speaking life instead of death into your situation. Verse 17 again, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. We had a fellow years ago, John. He was down in Southern California, but he wrote this song, and it was so good. It's like, when times are low, I'll praise you, Lord. When time, oh, excuse me, I started it wrong. When times are high, I'll praise you, Lord. When times are low, I'll praise you more. I'll praise you, Lord. Yes, I'll praise the Lord. Oh, I'll praise the Lord. Oh, I'll praise the Lord, my God. That's what I'm talking about. When times are low, praise Him. When times are high, praise Him. When it's in between, praise Him. Have praise coming off your lips. Verse 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you don't feel like it, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was a book years ago, and this was the title of the book. Praise the Lord anyhow. Right? You know, you're telling me your testimony. Praise the Lord anyhow. You tell me what's going wrong. I have compassion. I'll be praying for you. But praise the Lord anyhow. Why? Because you're putting life out instead of death. Did y'all get something tonight? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the service tonight. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the reminder, Lord. And we want to be a people that's known for praise. We praise you, Lord, not just when the worship team is up, but Lord, when we're going to work, when we're at home, Lord, we just want to fill our house. We want to fill our cars. We want to fill everything with praise. We just thank you and praise you. Lord, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Help us guard our tongue so that we're only speaking life. And Lord, we thank you that you are going to move mountains in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining. If you don't know Jesus, ask Him into your heart. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You will be saved. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Woo.